Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. Today, my co-host is Grace Pushman. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Megan.
And we've got a great topic again today where we're revisiting one that we did way back in season one, episode four on interviewing. But today we're going to dig a little deeper into one very specific type of question that you likely will encounter during an interview. And that's the behavioral-based interview question. It's super common, but it on the surface seems like, oh, maybe I'm just telling a story, but we want to give you some tips to make sure that you're making the most out of those responses.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what a behavioral-based interview question is, it's a question that is being asked by the interviewer to gauge what your past behavior was in a situation so that they can try to predict what your future behavior will be if you work with them. And so these questions might start with something like, can you tell me about a time when you did blank? Or please give me an example of when XYZ happened. And then you are, expected to think of a story to share. And so again, like Megan said, it seems kind of simple, but there are some great tips and tricks that we can share with you right now so that you can make that story be all that it needs to be to answer that question for the interviewer. So Megan, do you want to start us out with the first tip?
Sure. Yes. Let's jump in with tip number one. So prior to the interview, what you want to think about is developing a list of maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 examples that you can really pull from. So think of this as your basket of examples that no matter what behavioral-based interview question is asked of you, you know you have a story that you can use. So you want to have some diversity then, right, in the types of examples that you're providing. So a good thing to do is start by just reflecting on activities you've done, projects you've completed, experiences you've had, and, think broadly in that sense as well. So what jobs have you had? What volunteer experiences have you had? Community involvement? What were you involved with on campus? Was it a student organization? Did you have a leadership role? What have you been a part of in the classroom as well? Those are great things to think through. So once you've kind of developed, okay, here are some of the things that I could cover, then you want to review the details of those experiences in your mind. So start retelling those stories. So who was involved? What was the goal of what you were doing? How did it end? What was that outcome? What did you learn? That will help you to kind of figure out what exactly the story is that you're telling. And what you want to do is really try to focus on the experiences that you learn the most from, or the things that you're really proud of, the things that had a strong impact on you, because those are going to make the best stories. And, we will get into this a little bit more about how you want to be specific, but at this stage in the game, just don't be afraid for it to be one story from one of those experiences. So have your list of here's like the most impactful things I've been a part of, but then start kind of training your mind to think, what are the specific stories within there that I can tell?
Yeah, exactly. And that brings us to the second tip, which is that, you might have these great stories prepared, but that doesn't necessarily mean you will have an answer on the spot for every single question they might
ask.
Great
point. Yes.
And that's happened to me before. I can recall, interviews kind of, I think that you either completely forget them the second they're done.
Yes.
Or they're like seared into your memory forever, I think, depending on how it goes. And I have a few memories of all the times I've bombed a question. And 2 out of 3 of them were behavioral based. Yeah. One was, tell me a time you had a conflict that was at work. That was really tough for me to think of on the spot. And another one was leadership, because I hadn't really been a student who was really involved with things. So, of course, I do have examples of being a leader, but on the spot, it was tough to think of that. So one tip if you're struggling with that is to take a second. If they ask you a question and they're wanting an example, take a second, breathe. You might even say, wow, that's a great question. I'm going to think about that for a second. Give yourself some time. It only takes 10 to 15 seconds to collect your thoughts. It might feel like a lot of time to you, but I promise you the interviewer is not going to think it's awkward because they know you're just collecting your thoughts and you're organizing what you want to say.
And then I guarantee that when you tell that story after pausing, it's going to come out more clear, articulate, like you're going to have a more, you know, organized story to share with them. Even if you already know what story you want to share, still take that second to think about it and organize your thoughts. And that really can be applied to any question they might ask, absolutely, not just behavioral. Yeah.
Right. For sure. I think, yeah, we do get really afraid of the awkward silences, what we feel are awkward silences in an interview, but at least a lot of the interviews I've been in, usually the people interviewing me are jotting notes. It gives them a chance to kind of catch up on that. Mm-hmm. You kind of are breaking eye contact for a second, which also gives you a little bit of relief. So that little pause is totally appropriate. And yeah, as you said, can really help you to collect your thoughts.
Exactly.
All right. Tip three is to use one specific example. And I know we've been kind of mentioning these stories, examples over and over, but Grace, you can probably back me up on this. When I'm doing simulated interviews with students, the number one piece of feedback I have when students are answering their behavioral-based questions is to get more specific.
Yes, exactly.
It becomes very easy if you're asked a question, tell me about a time where you went above and beyond, for example. And I often will kind of hear students go into that mode of generalizing. Well, my freshman year, it was hard. So I was really, you know, working really hard in all of my classes, and I went above and beyond in all of them by, you know, studying late at night, right? Mm-hmm. It can fall a little flat mm-hmm. when it's too general. So the more specific, the better. And that's where, you know, going back to tip one, thinking of that basket of examples ahead of time can be really helpful to force you to get to something specific. Because that's also, you know, that's good storytelling.
Yes.
It's what makes a story memorable. Mm-hmm. If I can remember, you know, I'm not going to remember the student who said, oh yeah, my classes were hard and I had to work really hard. I went above and beyond by studying late. But I would remember if it was one specific night and something crazy happened in the library and you had to, you know, overcome something and you went above and beyond and it was really loud and there were crazy people, you know, whatever it is, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to remember that story. And that really is, you know, what we're trying to do in an interview. We want the people who are interviewing us to remember us.
Yes.
So that when they're reviewing us stacked up against the other candidates they've interviewed, we're the ones who stick out in their mind.
Exactly. And when you use those specific details, you're going to have a better chance of connecting with the interviewer, because now the interviewer might think, oh, I used to study in that library too. It's a great place. You know, little details like that are a better chance, like Megan said, to be memorable and to connect with the person who's interviewing you.
Right.
So definitely, probably the, I think of all the advice we're going to give today, that's maybe the most important.
Remember that one.
To be specific. Yes.
Yes.
And that leads us to the fourth tip, which is an acronym that we like to use when helping students remember how to structure their story that they're going to share. And the acronym is called the STAR method. And this is STAR with two R's on the end. So S-T-A-R-R. And the S is for situation. And like Megan said, this is where you want to make sure you're being very specific. So pick a specific example, a specific story. So you want to tell your situation. So in Megan's example, it's that you were, you know, studying late at the library. You want to share what the task is. And often this is going to be implied in the story you tell. So like in Megan's, the task is to get a good grade and do well on the test. The action, the A is for action. And that's where, again, you want to make sure you're being detailed enough. So don't just say, I was studying. You know, you might say, what are some methods you use to study? Do you have an organizational tool that you use? Do you have a motivational method? So give some specifics of how you did what you are talking about in your story. The R, the first R, is for results. And I don't know about you, Megan, but I feel like when I do this with students, the two R's on the end are what people often leave off.
Often.
Yes.
Very frequently left off.
Because it's, you know, if you're telling a story, you're probably going to tell what the situation is and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yes.
But to give the results, make sure, I think a lot of people forget to do that. So make sure you say, oh, I got an A on the test, you know?
Yes.
Don't leave that off. And it can be really brief too. It doesn't have to be a super long explanation, but make sure you're giving those results. And then the final R is the reflection. And this, again, is so easy to forget to do. But this is where I think it's almost the most important part of the story.
I agree.
Yeah, because you're really summarizing to the interviewer why that story matters. Like, why did you tell that story? What does it say about you? And maybe how does it connect to the job you're applying to? I always say it's kind of the cherry on top if you can bring it back to the interview that you're currently in. So this story shows how motivated I can be, how dedicated. And I know in this role that I'm applying for, I will bring those skills with me. Something simple like that. So make sure you're summarizing, you're reflecting at the end of the story to give that example meaning.
Right. And it, I mean, that reflection doesn't have to be anything crazy and enlightening and, you know, the most beautiful thought that you've ever thought. It literally can be, and that connects to this role because, right? Like, just put it out there, because then you're helping the people who are interviewing you to make those connections. They don't have to do it themselves.
Yeah,
doing some of the work for them.
And I think sometimes too, it feels kind of strange because it feels like you're being almost redundant or you're over-explaining. But when you think about when you write an essay, you have that concluding paragraph at the end where you're basically restating what you've already said, but it's so important to tie everything together. So don't be afraid, like Megan said, to say, this is how it connects. You can be explicit like that because it's helpful for the interviewers if you're talking directly in that way.
Right. And when you're telling a story, sometimes can be easy to just keep going with the story. And then I did this and then I did that.
Yes.
This is a really nice way to just put that, as you said, that cherry on top, that little finishing piece of, all right, I'm going to wrap this thing up.
Yep.
Here we go.
Exactly.
Perfect. Okay. We've already made it to our last tip. So this tip is to practice, which of course we're both career advisors. We are going to tell you to practice your behavioral-based interview responses. But it's pretty critical, especially when it comes to these, because if you go through those first four steps that we said, you have your basket of examples, you really thought about that STAR method and how you're going to describe them. It's really different when you start saying them out loud than when you're just reflecting on them in your head. So, practice them out loud. That can be by yourself. I know when I've been, you know, kind of preparing for these types of questions and interviews in the past, I hate being caught off guard. So I literally will just Google 100 behavioral interview questions and practice answering them out loud.
Yes.
And you'll find then that also is a strategy for helping you to develop those five stories, because you'll see the same ones coming up again and again. It'll help you to kind of home in on that as well. But using tools that we offer at the Career Center can also be very helpful. So we have a great virtual tool that you can do from anywhere called Big Interview, which allows you to practice. A little avatar pops up, asks you a question, and then your webcam kicks on and actually records your response. So it's a great way to practice and see yourself in action. But we also do simulated interviews in the Career Center where you can come in either in person or we offer virtual options for that as well, to really get that practice one-on-one with an actual person. So the more comfortable you can become in telling those stories, the better off they're gonna come out, as you're saying.
Yeah, and I can vouch for doing a simulated interview, because when I was a student at Grand Valley before I got my role at the Career Center, and I actually did a practice interview with Stephanie in our office, who's one of our advisors, and I was kind of amazed at how much it helps. Like, I knew it would help, but then it just helps you to collect your thoughts. And I think it's even more, it's like, yes, she gave me great feedback, but it's also just the fact, the process of doing it out loud, I think, in front of someone can be just so helpful to hear yourself, and you're going to think about it and reflect on it in a different way than if you were just thinking it through in your head. So I can
a little bit of pressure, even though, like, we're not judging you.
No, right.
As your advisor at all.
No, not at all.
Zero judgment. You shouldn't feel anxious, but you still do.
Yes. Right? It's still a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. And so that is our final tip. And we thought it would be fun to do an example of a behavioral interview question. And so we're going to role play. And I'm going to be the interviewer. And Megan is going to be a recent graduate who is applying for her current role she has as a career advisor. So she just graduated university and is now going to apply for this job as a career advisor at Grand Valley. So I'm going to ask the question. Are you ready, Megan?
Gosh, I think so.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, Megan, can you tell me a time that you failed at something?
Sure. This is always a fun question to answer, to reflect on our failures. I can think back to a time when I was a sophomore, and I was still kind of in that transition mode from high school to college, and I was taking an economics course, which just was really killing me. Mm-hmm. It was tough. I was not understanding the material, and it, you know, it was an introductory course, but yeah, it was hard. So the first midterm came up, and there it was. I'm taking it. I'm sweating it. It's not feeling great. I get my grade back, and hey, guess what? The first F of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, that feeling where you're like, oh my gosh, I really did just fail at this. So I may have shed a tear or two, because I am a pretty, you know, I like to be prepared. I like to get good grades. That's always something that I have valued. So that was really hard. But I used it then as fuel to really do better the rest of the course. So I took a bunch of steps to make that happen. Probably the best step was the professor had organized weekly study groups. So I was able to join that, and he actually was present during those. So I got, you know, really good access to my faculty member to ask questions, to help to kind of dive in and like really figure out why stuff wasn't connecting for me. And slowly but surely, as I put in the time and hours of studying and working with my fellow students and working with my faculty member, I got there. Now, I don't think I got an A in that class, but I definitely passed. Mm-hmm. And I think it just taught me that sometimes failure is okay, because mm-hmm. we learn a lot from that. And as I'm thinking about this role as a career advisor and, you know, working with students, I want to be that person that you can come to and say, hey, I just failed. Something went really, really bad. Can you be the person to help me overcome that? So I think having those past experiences of failure will help me to connect more with students. And, you know, I think it's just a good life lesson that will help me in this role and just in life in general.
Thank you, Megan. That was awesome.
Okay.
And one thing I want to specifically point out is how Megan's personality, like, shone through that entire answer. You know, she was smiling as she was sharing mm-hmm. her story. She gave fun little details. Well, I don't know if fun is the right word, but like about shedding a tear. You know, mm-hmm. I laugh when she said that because we can all relate. We've all had moments where we didn't get the grade we wanted and were upset over it. And that's what we were talking about earlier, about letting the interviewer connect with you mm-hmm. on various levels by sharing those details, putting your personality into it. And I think one thing too that we didn't discuss yet, when you are telling these stories, you're automatically going to seem less nervous because you're taking yourself out of the interview and remembering something mm-hmm. from the past. So mm-hmm. I think it takes you a little bit out of your head, and it lets you, you know, smile and reflect on what happened to you. And I think that showed with how Megan answered the question. So great job. That
yeah. we put you on the spot. How'd I do on the star method, Grace?
You hit every single thing. Yes. So you gave us a specific situation. Task was to yep. do well in the class. And then I really like, again, how you were very specific about your actions. So you said you joined that group with your professor. You gave mm-hmm. us specific details. You didn't just say, I studied harder
right.
or something too vague. So right. you gave us specific action steps. And then you did tell us the results. You couldn't quite remember your grade, but that's okay. You told yep. us you passed. So that's all that
yep.
matters.
Yep.
And then the reflection, I think, again, was probably the most important part, mm-hmm. especially for a question about failure. It's really mm-hmm. important to show that you're the type of person who can learn from failure mm-hmm. and grow from it. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. fabulous job on all yes. parts of that method.
Do I get to keep my job?
You know what? You're not hired. You're, what would the
rehired.
Word be?
Rehired. I don't know. You get to stay.
Exactly. Great job.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Whew, man. I That did feel like I was on the spot a little bit there, but good. Thank you, Grace, for the feedback.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. Well, that concludes our topic on behavioral-based interviews today. Hope you were able to take some tips. Be sure to reference the Career Center website, where we have a lot of information on interviewing and some of those sample questions that you will find. You'll also find that big interview tool there. And don't forget to, you know, make an appointment anytime in Handshake if you want to do that actual simulated interview. So thanks so much to everyone for listening, and we hope you tune into a future episode soon.